This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. For today, we are doing something a little different. Beyond our featured guest, Jim O'Connor, Professor Emeritus in Theatre from the Department of Theatre and Dance at the University of South Carolina in the United States, I have invited some local theatre practitioners to participate in a discussion on Shakespeare from a Western perspective. These people are Grace Ng, actor and voice talent, Christopher Ling, artistic director, Theatre 360, Lim Ken Lee, artistic director, KL Shakespeare Players, and Kaha Akila, actor and voice instructor. Professor Emeritus Jim O'Connor is spending some time lecturing at Aswara as a visiting professor in Aswara's theatre department. Aswara, of course, is our National Performing Arts Academy, and Professor O'Connor not only teaches but has, over the past 40 years, directed Shakespeare plays in many cities in the United States. Some of these include All's Well That Ends Well, Macbeth, King Lear, The Merry Wives of Windsor, and A Midsummer Night's Dream, which he directed with the students of UITM at the Istana Budaya back in 2009. Well, this weekend, on January 21st and 22nd, he'll be conducting a masterclass on directing. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
So to kick off, we will put you on the spot with a very simple question. While staging any play, there are always challenges, obstacles, or opportunities. Mm-hmm. How much more difficult is it to stage a Shakespeare play?
I don't really believe it's that much more difficult, and in maybe some ways easier. I refer to Shakespeare most often as a trampoline, because everybody in this room, we can all jump so high, except if we get on a trampoline and we dig our heels in and we shove down on that piece of canvas, and suddenly we can fly way up in the air. Well, that's what Shakespeare does to you as a director or as an actor. He lets you soar. Now, he creates his own problems, and some of them are terrifying. Like when you first, I can remember as a kid, or no, longer than a kid, older than a kid, you look at that piece of paper and it looks so strange. The text doesn't go from the left to the right, and it stops in the middle and goes somewhere. What does that mean? And immediately you're in a panic. Every pore in your body says, how do I get this right? Well, the minute you ask that question, how do I get it right, you're in a lot of trouble.
Professor, maybe because you have done this for such a long time that you don't see the challenges, you just see them as opportunities. We have a couple of people here who have directed Shakespeare. Ken Lee from KL Shakespeare Players and Christopher Ling from Theatre 360. Do you agree with what the professor has just said, Christopher Ling?
For myself, whenever I'm given the challenge of directing a Shakespeare play, I take it as any other play. In fact, I do agree, because there are so many more references out there, reference material out there, source material out there, for the background work to be done on the pieces. So from that perspective, yes, I do agree.
It's much easier, perhaps, because there's so much resource.
There's already so much resource. And of course, you have to go back to the very simple fact that the way Shakespeare writes his characters, he writes them from a very, very human perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to understand these characters already on that basis. And because Shakespeare is such an open book in terms of how he doesn't dictate how his plays are staged, there are so many opportunities that you have for staging.
Yeah. Ken Lee, do you share that opinion?
I agree to a certain degree, because I think what they have talked about is based on the assumption that we are working with actors who are well-trained. Mm-hmm. They already have their vocal training, handling classic texts and all that. So in that case, if they have all this kind of training background, Shakespeare is like, yeah, we'll make them better and we'll make them soar. But from my personal experience in directing Shakespeare, I find that often the issue is that I couldn't find actors who are trained enough. Not just Shakespeare, but even a normal kind of text. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they paraphrase, they didn't pay attention to the rhetoric devices used by the author. They just think like, okay, I just need to speak truthfully, as normally as possible, and that's it.
How would you respond?
I couldn't even conceive of starting to direct a Shakespeare play without a vocal coach. I just simply would not have enough time to direct the play and work with the actors, textual materials, imagery, simply lifting lines. Like, one of the reasons I find he's so vital is the stresses are always near the end of the line, and it's like it's moving forward. It's like playing, I don't know if anybody plays basketball or tennis or something, when the balls get old, they go blah, 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 blah. Shakespeare's the balls don't get old. You just throw it to the ground and it goes higher. And that's what the vocal coach does for you. They help the actor soar.
Talking about the challenges, you know, I'm hearing from Ken Lee, and I'm hearing you respond to Ken Lee in saying that, yeah, there are some of these obstacles. But how many of these obstacles are technical obstacles, like voice, learning how to say those lines?
Well, yeah, there's training. I think, I'll use American football. You have to train to learn how to knock people down. And I think acting is much more interesting than knocking people down. And so I expect actors to be as well trained as football players. It's only fair.
No, Grace, yeah. You have acted, mm-hmm. and so have you, Kaha. So I want to hear from the actor's perspective. Is doing Shakespeare different from doing another play?
Like, Jim, just now you mentioned something quite interesting. You said that, by the way, I really like the trampoline analogy about soaring. Yeah, it's always nice to fly. and you said something about when you try to get it right, that's when you make the first mistake almost. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my Shakespeare training has been about getting it right. And then even what Ken Lee spoke about, he was saying that a lot of practitioners, they might not have the training. So what if you ignore all the rules? Obviously, you can't. So a big part about Shakespeare is about getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I agree. You're right there. we're kind of back to the tennis image. Right, right, right. Yeah, there are certainly technical skills, but I find the moment I try and focus as a director, and I would say this true for actors, on getting it right, the creativity just runs out of you because you start self-monitoring. And if I'm going to worry whether an idea I'm going to throw out here in a minute is right or not, I'm going to edit out 12 ideas that could have been pretty good for fear of being wrong. I think that's why the rehearsal hall is such a sacred and has to be safe place, because we all have to be free to make fools of ourselves in the rehearsal hall. And if an actor is working on getting it right, I sometimes find the best direction I can give is just do something different with that, okay, and walk out of the way.
I'm going to throw the question now to Kaha. As an actor, do you see Shakespeare as requiring more technical skills as opposed to doing a contemporary play?
I think any play has its technical and more, you know, emotional, mental challenges. My experience with Shakespeare is that because it's a lot of the language is archaic, though the meaning underneath is tremendously universal. For me, a lot of it is just getting past the archaic words. Yeah, I mean, it's technical. Yeah, a little bit more. But then again, if you try and perform a segment from, say, Shaw's Pygmalion, you probably need to do some research as well. So I think that, yeah, it's just different.
Kinley?
It's not to say that if you perform Shakespeare, you need this particular skill that's different from playing other plays. It's just like Shakespeare requires more from the actors. And if you know how to perform Shakespeare, I think then you can handle other plays, other texts mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. So it should be a good foundation for actor training.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. One of the nicest compliments, maybe the nicest compliment I've had in a directing career is, I can't remember which of the Shakespeare it was, but I was doing it at Purdue University, where I was the artistic director at the time. And We did a matinee for some students, and we had a talk back after it. And this wonderful, charming young lady, she said, "How dare you change his words?" And I said, "I'm sorry." And she said, "You changed all his words." I said, "No, I made some cuts. I think I made about probably 10 minutes of cuts, but I didn't rewrite a line." She said, "That's not true." And I said, I guarantee it's not true. And I said, "Why are you saying it?" She said, "Because we read it in class, and I didn't know what they were talking about, and everything was..." And I said, "Well, that's what they paid me to do. That's what they paid us to do, to make that archaic language."
Yes. Yes.
In performing and staging Shakespeare, what do you have to consider? Is it the audience, the actor, or the play?
I think all three. I obviously have a director's prejudice. And one of the things that is my responsibility is the audience. And how do I orchestrate their life from the moment they arrive at the theater to they leave? They're so gracious, they give up 2 or 3 hours of their time to find out what we want to talk about. So my responsibility is to them. How do I do something that makes that 2 hours more exciting, more fun, and more meaningful than all of the other things they could be doing in that time? So I feel my responsibility has to be in the audience. But that comes late in the rehearsal process. I think early on, my responsibility is to how do I create an environment in which an actor is free to explore, to be dead wrong, for us to laugh at one another because we can't figure out how any of us were that stupid. But it's my job to create that environment, and then through my expertise, and even more so through the vocal coach's expertise, help the actor use what appear to be obstacles as opportunities. Because Shakespeare gives you a lot of information, I think there's a wonderful section in the opening of The Tempest where Prospero is talking to his daughter, whose name?
Miranda.
Miranda, yeah. Thank you. Where he's talking to Miranda, and he keeps saying, "Miranda, listen. Miranda, wake up." Well, that scene's pretty easy to direct. I know what Miranda's doing because Shakespeare, he does the same thing in Midsummer Night's Dream. One of the mechanicals comes on and says, blah, 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 blah. And, well, how do I direct that? Well, it's very simple. Look at the next line and says, that person doesn't bother with periods or marks. They speak all in one breath. Well, I know how to direct that scene. So he just helps you out a lot. Or he brings somebody on and says, boy, it's dark tonight and there's no moon out and it looks like it's going to rain. Well, that said, it just did a lot of scene designers' work, didn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, many actors would say Shakespeare doesn't come off trippingly off the tongue.
It's hard work. It's hard work. The guy didn't nearly win the Olympics in badminton by not working hard. it's relatively simple. If you want to be good at something, yeah, I guess you could be super talented, but most of us aren't. I just had to work a lot because I don't have much talent, you know.
How do you make a performance, like a play, like if you direct it, for example, All's Well, and you direct it maybe 1 year after the other, what would drive you to direct it again?
Actually, I can answer that one. Shakespeare makes that easiest. There's so much on paper. I remember directing Tempest. It was a pretty light Tempest. It was about magic and sound and all that. But all the while I was directing that play, I was saying to myself, I hope somebody else will hire me to do another Tempest because there's a dark play in there. And I think in doing it in the U.S., there's a dark play in there about slavery. And what does that make Ariel? How can I chain up that person? So all the while I was directing this one, there's so much on paper, I was thinking of another one already. So, yeah, it was most enjoyable here because I could embrace the Malaysian culture. The play just made more sense if I looked at Borneo and say, wait a minute, there's a whole tradition in Borneo of spirits and that, which in the United States we're so scientific, we can't get there. But here, I could suddenly start celebrating that I couldn't have done at home.
I'm speaking with Jim O'Connor, Professor Emeritus, Theatre, University of South Carolina, on performing Shakespeare. And in the studio with us are several local theatre practitioners, two artistic directors from two different theatre companies, Lim Ken Lee and Christopher Ling, and two performers, Kaha Akila and Grace Ng. Coming up, what is performing Shakespeare from a Western perspective? This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row in the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. We have a studio full of performing arts people of the theatre kind. I have invited two directors, Ken Lee, Lim Ken Lee, and Christopher Ling, and two actors, Grace Ng and Kaha Akila, to participate in a discussion with my featured guest, Jim O'Connor, Professor Emeritus Theatre, University of South Carolina, who is serving a stint at Aswara, our National Performing Arts School. We've been talking about how Shakespeare provides instructions to the actor, how to speak the lines, how to act. And Shakespeare offers so much in each play that the same director can, for the same play, offer different productions with different emphasis. Kenley, you look like you have a question or a comment.
There's often an argument about adapting Shakespeare. Like you say, you did Midsummer Night's Dream in Malay. Some purists will say, oh, okay, Shakespeare is all in the language. If you translate into another language, you are just capturing the images, the plot, but inevitably the essence of the sound of the language, English language, will be lost. So what's your take about that?
I'm simply giving you something different. But it started, he stole all those plots from somebody else anyways. And so I just think those plays are so good. And so I'm going to do it in Malay, and some of the rhymes aren't right on, and so on. So I can give you 90% or help you get 90% of something that's brilliant. I'd take that average every day.
So yeah. you can still call that Shakespeare?
Yeah, of course I would. Yeah, because he's the one that's put us in the room together. And we have spent 4 weeks or 8 weeks together discovering his world through us. And this production is what it is because you are this actor, I'm this director, this is the space we're in, this is the language we're in. And I don't know if you have it here, do you have an image of Kilroy Was Here? It was an old thing in the 60s in the United States, and it'd be a big nose sticking over, and it was Kilroy Was Here. Well, art seems to me like a giant Kilroy Was Here. We are all here together looking at this Shakespearean play in this space in Kuala Lumpur, and we are testifying to being here together. I think that's enough to give the audience, I believe.
I need to clarify. Kenley, did you say that you still have to stick with English or that you can translate that?
I ask the question is to build up to my next question. He said, so how do you say a play as Shakespeare? Because I have seen shows that are done in Shakespearean language, but they're horrible. I don't consider them Shakespeare. But the plays or some dances is just inspired by Shakespeare, but they got the essence that, But how to draw a line? Like how do you...
So I guess the question is, when does a play still hold its integrity and we can say it's a Shakespeare play? And when does the integrity becomes...
Let me go away and then I will come back to me. It seems to me that all theater, Shakespearean and everything else, all theater is about 2 hours. That's what it's about. The audience is 2 hours in the theater. Incidentally, it has a plot and it has a theme and it has all these other things. And it is Shakespeare or it is not Shakespeare. So in answer to that question, I think if we can start with Shakespeare and construct 2 hours of spectacular time for the audience, who cares? What a responsibility as actors, and even more so as director. Somebody, just think of all of the fun things that you've ever done in your life and say, I could be doing them tonight. But I'm going to give those up and I'm going to go and sit in probably an uncomfortable seat and I couldn't park anyways to watch what this company of actors and directors and designers want to talk about. I think that's an awesome responsibility. And if Shakespeare can help us to that, getting it right or doing it properly, whatever that means, or improperly, that's good enough. We're using the audience's 2 hours well. That's our job, I think.
So for you then, it is not important whether a play is Shakespeare, not Shakespeare. The important thing is about what we do with the time when the audience is in the seat.
Right. One of the reasons I love Shakespeare is he gives us an optimal opportunity to make use of that 2 hours. And that's why, 2016, 400 years. Wow. Anybody in the room think anybody will remember their name in 400 years? Or how about 40? Okay, 400 years. He's tapped into, to me, as far as I can see, the essential nature of what does it mean to be a human being. How are we? I just went to Sepalock and I looked at the orangutan and I loved them. But what, and they're 96.4% the same DNA. But what is that other 5%? And it seems to me that's what Shakespeare's writing about. What is it that makes us as a species, us? And why I love that, by the way, if we can get to us, then we stop fighting with one another.
That leads us to the workshop that you'll be running, mm-hmm. this master class. And the theme of it is Shakespeare from a Western mm-hmm. point of view.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I'm here as a visitor, as a stranger, and I've enjoyed being here the last time for a year and this time for 6 months because of what I have learned. And I got to watch Mock Young, and I got to watch this and that and find out about the Gamelan and on and on. I'm trying to say thank you and let me talk to you about something I might be able to give back to you and saying here's kind of an approach to it that is rather Western in nature, where we're respecting the language. My hope is that I can present that in such a way that everybody in the room will say, oh, I can see that. Oh, and now that I look at it from my perspective, I would like to go here or there. I'm not interested in teaching anyone how to do Shakespeare because I don't know. Nobody knows how to do it. There are no videos around, you know? And so what I'm trying to set up is here's a possibility that you can use to spin off of, because I hope you will spin off of it. I'm having a hard enough time directing plays like Jim O'Connor. Nobody else can do it. I'm having a hard enough time myself, you know. But so what I'm saying is I'm trying to bring this here to say here's a reference point for you to go from.
But isn't Shakespeare always from a Western perspective, or are you trying to highlight it so that it becomes clearer to us?
I guess what I'm saying is he's always going to be Western, and that's the way he wrote. But he wrote from a 400-year-old Western vantage point, which is very nice. And, you know, all we have to do in Romeo and Juliet, look at the friar's speech, all that stuff about flowers. Nobody in a room knows what he's talking about. Yeah, but it's a Western viewpoint that's very different from the contemporary Western viewpoint. Again, in having the opportunity to do Mimpi here in 209, the joy was being able to have somebody, composing music where I could put together gamelan instruments with electric guitars. And so that offered me an opportunity to do it in a way beyond Western, something I couldn't do at home. So it's essentially a reference point to reach out from. Am I answering your question or not? No.
Not really. I mean, okay, so for me, something that would be interesting as well would be Shakespeare from an Eastern perspective. So
yeah, in fact, that's what I thought. Mm. Then if there is a Western point of view, a Western perspective, then there must be at least a non-Western point of view. And what might that be?
Yeah, like for example, I mean, just a very simple analogy, like for Western culture, it's always like black and white, linear, it's more of a linear progression. But mm-hmm. for Eastern, there's always more of a circular circular and fluid movements in the work. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of Shakespeare's structure, it's always didam, 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 didam. But for Chinese-speaking people, even you hear the way that Chinese-speaking people speak, example, hey, you want to do that or not? Versus, hey, would you like to do that? You can hear the rhythm is actually different. Inverse. It's actually mm-hmm. inverse. So if you were to do something like Shakespeare from an Eastern perspective, what would it be like?
I don't think I have the expertise to say how it could be done from an Eastern perspective, simply because I'm an outsider to that culture. But it seems to me, again, I'll go back to, I think the man was writing in a universal way that reaches across cultures. Trugar, the South African playwright, I believe, says it better than anyone I've heard. And he talks about theater as the ultimate humanizing experience. And he says, what we do is we take a whole bunch of people and we put them shoulder to shoulder. And some are of this religion and some of that religion and some old and some young and some Eastern and some Western. And when we put something on the stage, they all seem to respond to it in the same way. Weep at this point, laugh at this point. And what we're doing in this strange culture that keeps trying to fragment us, we are creating a humanizing experience of finding out what we have in common rather than what makes us different. I think Shakespeare in that way can be Eastern, Western, or in a number of ways. He's talking about our DNA. What do we have? Kind of the opposite of what's happening in the United States, which I'm terrified to go home to at the moment, given the politics, okay, because the people will be doing a lot of Shakespeare in the United States in the next 4 years, I hope.
Well, it's interesting. On one hand, you are, for me, you are valorizing Shakespeare, but at the same time, you tend to talk about him in the context of he is one of many playwrights that has given us the opportunity to be on stage and for actors to be on stage. And that opportunity to engage with the audience is ultimately more important than Shakespeare.
Well, I guess I would have to say if it's going to cost me $25 to go to the theater and $5 to buy the book, the directors and actors better be doing $20 of work somehow. That's why it's theater. That's why, I mean, he was a man of the theater. He was an actor. They didn't even write these things to bother to write them down. They just kind of memorized their sides and threw them away. And so it was meant to be theater. It seems to me the engagement of the audience and the production is what's interesting. Richard Schechter, not a very good director, I don't believe, but a terrific theatrician, he talked about a flexible membrane that is stretched between the audience and the performance. And sometimes the performers, that theater piece, pushes that membrane way out in the audience and engulfs them. And other times the performances pull it back on stage and the audiences have to reach to what's going on. Schechter talked about this in terms of it's an organism, just like we are, inhaling and exhaling. And this performance reaches and engulfs the audience and then intrigues them and baits them back and forth. To me, that's the ultimate theater experience. Shakespeare, I love because he gives me the opportunity to exercise all of the muscles I have about that. He challenges and frightens me. I have to admit, frightens too.
My heart leaps for joy when you talk and give so much importance to the audience. We as directors have a huge responsibility in making Shakespeare, or for that matter, any play that we direct, accessible to the audience. And looking at set and looking at costume and looking at vocal work and looking at decisions that actors make on stage and sculpting and putting all of that together really ultimately is there to make the piece, first of all, accessible in all these many different ways to the audience, and ultimately for us to really embrace the responsibility that we have to an audience to be able to say something that is potentially life-transforming.
I always try and go into a play with some very specific thing that I'll share with the cast. And it changes from play to play and play. But say Virginia Woolf, Who's Afraid of a great play. And I hope maybe 10 years after the play, there'll be this man and woman arguing about something and disagreeing, and one will say to the other, wait a minute, you're treating me just like that man or woman treated me. Remember that? I can't remember the name of that play, but you can't do that. I won't have that. It'll have a bad ending. We did our job that night. Mm-hmm. Another example, I have a really piece of fluff called Peg of My Heart. I did at Utah a ways back. Very simple little love story. And the parking lot, a big parking lot. And one of the things I said to the cast, here's what I'd like you to focus on every night before you go on stage. There'll be some couples who will see this play tonight whose relationship has cooled off. They're just married. Here's what I got to be your goal. At least one of those couples on the way to the car will hold one another's hand for the first time in years. If we can get that done, not a bad evening, folks. Yeah. And that took me a long time to, because I was trained as a painter initially, and I had to do important theater, but I had this transforming experience. I was directing A Funny Thing Happened the Way the Form, the fluffiest of fluffy. I've only done it about five times. I love the play because all of the stuff you cut from other plays because it's too outlandish, you can get out of your system. It's really great. But I wandered into the back of the theater one night, and it was a couple I knew who were sitting there, and she was in a wheelchair, and they both knew, and I knew, that she was going to pass away soon. She was only going to live a few more months. She had a very bad disease. And I stood behind them, or stood in the back of the theater, and they were laughing. The two of them were laughing. And I'm going to go all weepy, sorry. But there for a few minutes, that company and I had a chance to relieve those people's pain. Not a bad night.
Maybe we should end with this comment from Declan Donnellan, who is the artistic director with the Cheek by Jowl. Mm-hmm. And they're doing Measure for Measure in Russian. And he says, Shakespeare on stage is not just important, it's urgent. All of Shakespeare's plays help us to be with people who are not necessarily like us. I cannot imagine anything more politically useful at this present moment.
Seldom am I speechless, but you've rendered me so.
We have been in a discussion with Professor Emeritus Jim O'Connor, who is in the country as a visiting instructor of theater and drama at Aswara, our performing arts school. We have talked about how to perform Shakespeare, concluding that there is no one way. Shakespeare offers, when done well, for the production to spring high, as if bouncing off a trampoline, to use Professor Jim O'Connor's analogy. My guests have been Lim Kian Lee from the KL Shakespeare Players, Christopher Ling, Theatre 360, Kaha Killa, and Grace Ng, two actors. And most importantly, Professor Emeritus Jim O'Connor, who this weekend at Aswara will be facilitating a two-day masterclass on directing Shakespeare from a Western perspective. The workshop starts at 10 a.m. and ends 5 p.m. on both days. If you are interested in participating, the fee is 300 ringgit. Call theatre lecturer Fasyali at 010-285-7873. 010-285-7873. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.